Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237. With us, very special guest, and we're excited to have her back again, but in her capacity as the New York State Attorney General. Thank you. Welcome back to Reaching Out, and welcome back for the first time as New York State Attorney General. It really needs no introduction, but for those who do not know, Letitia Tish James is the 67th Attorney General for the state of New York. When she was elected in 2018, she became the first woman of color to hold statewide office in New York and the first woman to be elected Attorney General. Welcome to Reaching Out.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing, Mr. Floyd? It's been a while, and to all of your members of 237, it's been a while since I had the opportunity to speak to each and every one of you, but it is great to be back in this seat, and it's great to talk once again to your members.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, coming to speak to us, and we appreciate the work that you are doing on behalf of New York State and on behalf of the nation. This is the first year of your second term as New York State Attorney General, and you've certainly hit the ground running with many accomplishments. We all know the big items your office is working on, but what are some of the things that our listeners may not know that you would like to share with us?
So I'm sure you've heard about the historic trials, but more importantly, the issues that affect your members are issues such as all of the cases that we have brought against companies for data breaches, breaches which unfortunately have divulged your social security numbers, your dates of birth, and other vital and personal information. And so because of those data breaches, we have brought actions against a wide range of companies here in the state of New York. We've also have brought cases against nursing homes. In fact, we've recovered almost $83 million on behalf of taxpayers here in the great state of New York. We have taken action against companies who have engaged in wage theft, which is a major issue to your members as well. In fact, most recently, we were able to recover $283 million for Uber and Lyft drivers here in the state of New York, and a wide range of construction workers who were misclassified and who did not receive overtime pay and or sick leave here in the state of New York. We've also focused on companies that have engaged in price gouging, particularly during COVID, which was a major problem when individuals were trying to obtain essential goods here in the state of New York, and individuals unfortunately engaged in price gouging, focusing on increasing profits as opposed to addressing the needs of New Yorkers. We have also been focusing on opioids. As you know, we were able to secure settlements with some drug manufacturers and distributors, again, to have them take responsibility for the scourge of opioid addiction, of individuals who simply went to doctors for back pain or for toothaches and unfortunately became victims and became addicted to opioids. And so we were able to secure $2.6 billion for the state of New York. We filed one of the most extensive and comprehensive lawsuits against drug manufacturers and distributors for the death and the destruction and the addiction that they caused, the pain and suffering of countless number of New Yorkers, and that continues. We are also looking at fentanyl, which is a major problem here in the state of New York, where individuals are lacing, unfortunately taking fentanyl and another drug called xylazine, and they are lacing their drugs with these dangerous chemicals, causing not only addiction, but also death. And it's really critically important that we talk about xylazine, which is a legal drug. It's an animal tranquilizer, and individuals are lacing their drugs with xylazine, which causes holes in your skin and causes individuals basically to become zombies. And we're seeing it more and more and more on the street. It's known as Trank. And we need to educate individuals and talk to school children about the dangers of drug abuse and let them know about the harm that it can cause to themselves and also to the family and also to the state of New York. So we need to educate New Yorkers about drug addiction and do all that we can do to stop the flow of drugs into our country. Drugs from China, drugs from Mexico, stop them at the border to prevent this type of illegal activity. We've also removed a number of guns off of the street. In fact, as of today, we have removed over 7,000 illegal guns. And in fact, on one given day, we did a gun buyback. We were able to recover 3,000 guns. We have removed guns as a result of gun buybacks, but also through our takedowns of individuals who are illegally trafficking in illegal guns and also in illegal drugs. And so we have been very busy in our second term, first year, but there is more to come. And it is an honor and a privilege to serve as the Attorney General of the State of New York on behalf of your members and on behalf of all New Yorkers.
Wow, I mean, I was listening and I said, what else can I answer after you giving me all of that? But I said, I thought about it. I said, you know what? We didn't talk about the nursing homes. We have a lot of seniors listening. So can you tell us about your investigation, your inquiry into the nursing homes? What did you why did you start it? What did you find? And what are we going to do going forward?
So we have a Medicaid fraud unit. And Medicaid are public dollars, they're taxpayer dollars. And individuals obviously pay Medicaid dollars for the benefit of individuals who are in nursing homes or who basically need care. And the care that they are is owed to nursing home residents is diligent care, care that is compassionate, care that is consistent with standards, and care that does not result in their abuse and or neglect. And, you know, during COVID, what we saw, unfortunately, were a number of nursing homes were understaffed, where nursing home owners were only concerned about profits, where nursing home owners engaged in transactions where they and related parties benefited, and most of these related parties were their family members. These owners benefited and their family members, and that was at the expense of nursing home residents who in some cases were lying in feces, in some cases being subjected to neglect, open sores, open wounds, and individuals who unfortunately were not being properly cared for. And this Medicaid unit, you know, investigates nursing homes. And so during COVID, as you know, we lost a number of nursing home residents, and we continue to investigate nursing homes for failure to adhere to both state, local, state, and federal laws, and nursing homes which unfortunately do not have adequate staff, and nursing homes that are more concerned about the bottom line as opposed to the residents within their care. And loved ones call us each and every day. And we have a hotline, and we have taken a number of nursing home owners. We have sued a number of nursing home owners and taken them to task. And we are seeking one to recover damages, but also in some cases, because the nursing homes are just so horrific to close them down in some cases. But it's important that individuals understand that some of these nursing home owners are taking in, raking in millions and millions of dollars, as opposed to using those dollars for the benefit of the residents within their care. And that is what we investigate. And we have seen, and I have read some reports that just break your heart. And loved ones are struggling and they're suffering. And that really should not be the case for individuals who are our most vulnerable and elderly New Yorkers. We have a duty and a responsibility, and particularly these nursing home owners, to care for these individuals and to care for them in a way that is consistent with law. And most importantly, to hire adequate staff and to pay them what is owed to these nursing home staff members who do all that they can, who do heroic work, but unfortunately are overworked and underpaid.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President of Local 237. Teamsters with us, a very special guest, New York State Attorney General Letitia James. I saw a recent report that you issued a report on mental health problems in New York. Can you tell us what you found in that report?
So, you know, we've been holding hearings all through over the state of New York. We held one in upstate New York. We held a number in the city of New York. And what people tell me is that they cannot get mental health services for their loved ones. And what we are seeing what we are seeing in New York is we are seeing individuals who are in the throes of a mental health crisis on our streets, on our subways. These are individuals who unfortunately cannot get the care that they so desperately need. My personal story is that a friend of mine reached out to me because she could not get care for her daughter, pediatric care. Her child was a teenager who was engaging in self-harm, self-mutilation, and obviously needed mental health services. So it took the Attorney General of the state of New York to get a pediatric bed, and that should not be the case. And so our study revealed that individuals who were insured and entitled to mental health services, unfortunately, when they call these numbers through their insurance plans, the telephone numbers for mental health care were disconnected, were wrong, and in some cases, the mental health providers were just not available or did not exist. And we basically referred to them as ghost providers. And insurance companies have a duty and a responsibility, both morally and legally, to make sure that the numbers that they provide to their customers are up to date, are sufficient, are adequate, and provide the care that individuals most desperately need. You know, as a result of our hearings, our mental health hearings, we are uncovering that there are insufficient pediatric beds for children, insufficient geriatric beds for the elderly. And again, we are seeing it each and every day on the streets, not only in New York City, but all throughout the state of New York. And so we as government and elected officials have a responsibility to address this mental health crisis in the state of New York, but insurance companies also have a responsibility to ensure that the providers that they are offering to their customers, that the information in order to access care is adequate, up to date, and sufficient. And unfortunately, based upon our investigation and this report that we published, is just not there. They're ghost providers. And so we are looking into this matter, and we are considering taking action against some of these insurance companies for their failure to provide the care that their clients, that their patients, that their customers are owed and is required by law.
It is holiday season.
Yeah.
And we know there are a lot of people out there that are trying to scam a lot of generous donors. And recently you put out a report on charities. Can you tell us some of your findings in that report?
So my office has worked very closely with our state's not-for-profit organizations to maintain a standard of fairness and transparency. And let me know, and I want everyone to know, that our not-for-profits do a yeoman's job in a wide range of areas. And I respect them, and countless number of New Yorkers rely upon their service. But just last month, we released our annual Pennies for Charity report, which is online, which analyzes fundraising trends and provides tips for New Yorkers to ensure that they don't fall victim to fraud. And it's unfortunate that, particularly during the holiday season, what we are seeing is fraudsters and individuals take advantage of individuals who want to contribute to a number of not-for-profits for a variety of reasons. And so people, unfortunately, are being scammed. And what we do is, if you're planning on donating this holiday, we just give you some helpful tips. If you are called by a telemarketer, ask questions to make sure that you make an informed decision. Be very, very wary of email solicitations. Those solicitations that you get to your email to your email address, and these are organizations that you did not reach out to, that you did not ask for. And if you just click a link or open some of the attachments, they can be scams. They can be phishing scams. So only donate to organizations that you trust, that you know, and that are legitimate. If you believe an organization is misrepresenting itself or is a scam, please contact my office, 1-800-771-7755. That's, again, 1-800-771-7755. And please report that scam not-for-profit that's holding itself out as a legitimate not-for-profit organization to my office so that we can take action and we can launch an investigation.
Never take solicitation from emails. Very seldom do I answer calls for donations. I look online and see what's available and go with the ones that, I guess, to get basic standard donations. If you have to make a donation, those
exactly. Exactly. There. And don't give anyone, please, please, please do not give anyone any of your personal information, your social security number, your bank information, none of that information. And please, to my seniors, because they prey upon seniors, they prey upon your emotions. Please, seniors, you have earned the right to be rude. Hang up on them, please, and reach out to our office. I know you don't like to be rude, but if they're asking you for personal information, be rude and just let them know that the Attorney General said that you can do that.
You know, it reminds me of a story. I was in a meeting in Florida. I got a call 7:30 in the morning about not paying a bill and come down. I could either pay the bill, give them my credit card, or pay the bill, come down to the desk and pay the bill. And I said, you know what? The Teamsters usually pay the account. So I said, this is funny. I went down to the front desk. There was no such call made from there. Yeah. And I said, I warned the front desk that they're going to call every guest in the hotel and they're going to find somebody. And,
right.
And literally they did. We went to the meeting and found somebody. Would you believe about 12 years later, the same voice called me about my personal account. I remember that voice distinctly. And they said that somebody was buying gas with my card in Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow.
And I said, you know, you're the same voice who called me 12 years ago at a hotel. You're a scammer. And I recognized the voice. I recognized that voice. And I said, what's the odds on the same scammer calling me twice in two different places on two different instruments, the hotel phone and my cell phone? That was something.
There's a lot of different scams out here, and they prey on seniors. There are scams where they prey upon seniors, basically saying that your loved one, your grandchild, is in danger in some foreign country, and send them $1,000. We had a situation here where an intern's parent was called and said, your child is in some country. They traveled. They didn't let you know. We're holding them hostage. Please send us $1,000 now. And then they had a recording of the child's voice. And the reality is that their grandchild was at work here in our office. And so the mother knew me personally and called me and said, my daughter, have you seen my granddaughter? Have you seen my granddaughter? I said, yeah, she's on the 17th floor. She's at work. She's doing a report. Well, someone just called me and told me that she was in trouble and to send them $1,000. I said, it's a scam. Your daughter's upstairs eating lunch. You know, doing a report, working for our office. And she was so relieved. She was in tears, but she was about to send them $1,000 on her credit card.
Yeah. Logically, what would $1,000 do in a situation like that?
Exactly.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you about deed theft.
Yes.
The problem. And what one can do once we learn what the problem is to prevent that.
So what we are seeing, not only in New York City, but all throughout the state of New York, is individuals who are engaging in deed theft. What is deed theft? Deed theft is where individuals who are cash poor, but equity rich, and they primarily focus on brownstones, and they primarily focus on communities of color that are heavily gentrified. So what we are seeing in central Brooklyn, in Harlem, parts of Queens, and upstate New York, where you have individuals who are basically transferring deeds of property to themselves and or to their company. In fact, we are investigating, we indicted someone who was engaging in deed theft in the Bronx, who targeted two properties that were worth $4.7 million. Individuals had died. Their heirs were not notified. These fraudsters obviously became aware that the owners of these properties had left these very valuable estates, and that the rightful heirs had not been notified. So they just substituted themselves as the rightful heirs. We launched an investigation, and in one individual who was the rightful owner to a brownstone in Harlem, which was worth almost $2 million, was living in a shelter, collecting cans. And that person was the rightful heir to a $2 million brownstone. And we found that person living hand to mouth, living in a shelter, when in fact they were a millionaire. We have another case, similar circumstance. Again, someone was duped into signing some documents for a brownstone that was worth millions. And in fact, they signed their rights away. We see it over and over and over again. And what happens is they usually have affinity people who look like them, approach them and say, and offer them to help. And usually these people work for the fraudsters, and they get people to sign documents without counsel, without any advice, basically saying, we're going to help you get out of foreclosure. We're going to help you refinance this house. We're going to help you pay your bills, all of your debt. And in reality, in those documents is a transfer of a deed. And they find out, they call, and oftentimes, these individuals, these fraudsters go on to refinance the home over and over again, taking out various mortgages. And oftentimes the buildings are dilapidated. They fall into neglect. They're ghost properties. And we've got to investigate when individuals reach out to us. So please, 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 if you believe that you are a victim of deed theft, or if you have property next to you, which you believe has been the victim of some sort of fraudster or criminal, please reach out again to the Office of the Attorney General. It's an issue that I care about because it is happening to my neighbors in central Brooklyn, and it is an issue that I am committed to addressing. So it's 1-800-771-7755.
Can you give us that number one more time?
1-800-771-7755.
Thank you very much. And this is all the time we have for this edition of Reaching Out. Thank you. You've been very, very, very informative. I learned a lot just listening. And there were some things that you were doing and engaged in that I did not know. I try to follow, but you do so much work, I can't follow. So we have to ask you, what are you doing that we don't see in the news? And I didn't ask you about anything you do in the news because that's been fully covered. I want to cover what people are not covering. Thank you very, very much for coming on Reaching Out.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. We do more than investigate former presidents because we believe that no one is above the law, no matter how powerful they are or how rich they are. The reality is that we stand up for everyone, and particularly New Yorkers. It's been my honor and my privilege to speak to each and every one of you. May all of you have a happy holiday. God bless you. Thank you. And I'll see you in the new year.
Appreciate
Go labor.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.